The 20th and 21st century showed us a proliferation of images, unbelievable amount of images surrounding the people. But there is a kind of a false common belief that before the 20th century or 19th century, turn of the century, that there was no images in the Levant. This exhibition, organized by the AUB Art Gallery and curated by the curator Octavian Essano, is trying to shed light on the images that were present in the 19th century towards the turn of the 20th century, to show that in fact there was a lot of images, even if it was images that are a little bit different from the academic European style of art. This panorama that we are going to see together would like to give us an idea about the different images that were surrounding the people living at this period of time and the different kinds of images that used to be present outside the academic realm. So we start by a painting number one, which used to decorate the central hall of Bassoul Hotel in downtown Beirut. It shows a typical panoramic view of the city of Beirut towards the end of the 19th century, a little bit within what is called the Ottoman School, which is a school of art influenced by the European art, but that was closer to the ideas or closer to how the society understood art in this part of the world, which was mainly Islamic and disliked a little bit the representation of people. So in this Ottoman school that we are going to see some fine examples in this show, we can see a very topographical representation of the city of Beirut here, mainly because it was done by Ottoman officers who studied the art of painting in order to give renderings of different cities of the empire. This is a typical example of it. The painting that is in the exhibition is a copy of the original, which is bigger, but that is not available to be exhibited. And it was very important to a little bit to start the exhibition by showing this city of Beirut, that the rest of the exhibition is trying a little bit to give us a typical idea of how you people in it used to live and in what kinds of images they used to surround themselves. Number two is a typical door of the pre-colonial period and the Ottoman period. It's a painted wooden door that has a geometric design, but also that have few panels painted on top with images having like panoramas and flowers. This door is the only door that survived the big fire of the city of Damascus, and particularly the souk of Harika in Damascus in the late 19th centuries. And it gives an example of this other form of art that used to be available in Levantine houses that includes some kinds of imagery, but different from the ones that we are used to today. Number three is a film by Lumière Frère. And in fact, it's a very short movie that was filmed in 1897, representing the Martyr Square. We can see what remains today from this scenery is in the background the Cathedral of Saint George of the Maronite, all the others has been transformed. But it's an interesting movie because it shows a little bit the personages that later on in this panorama we are going to see a lot of these portraits being reproduced. Number four is a series of three images plus a fourth photo representing probably the very first movie that was done in Lebanon called The Adventures of Elias Mabrouk. It was filmed by an Italian director, and his name is Giordano Pidotti. And in fact, it was taken in 1930. And the first three images on top represent the kind of advertisement for the movie that used to be hanged in the entrance in the entrances of movie theaters in order to bring people in. Film mostly for fun, for the people to enjoy a funny story. Number five is probably the only artwork that is not from the period of the late 19th turn of the century. It was done much later, towards the 20th century. It was chosen by the curator to be included because the artist has decided to represent a number of professions that used to be very much available in the souks of the Levant. There was this guild of artisans that each one works in his own domain. And he has chosen to represent them from his memory when he was young, Mr. Khaldoun Chichakli, the artist, exactly like it was transmitted to him with people who witnessed this period, with the different kinds of the trade specialties and how they developed and how they used to look like before the introduction of modernization and motorization and Western importation of the different trades. Number six is a very unique triptych of portraits by the very first art academic artist in Lebanon, the first professional artist who printed visiting cards saying that he was a painter, Davoud Karm, and his wife Virginie. And below them, there is a portrait of the young Georges Karm, who also the son who became an artist. So it's probably the triptych of portraits of the very first painters in Lebanon and the Levant. Number 7, 8, and 9. The 19th century witnessed the development of photography. And since Nicéphore Niépce discovered photography in 1839, the very first photographers, particularly a French aristocrat, Giraud de Pranger, started coming to the Middle East in order to take photographs of the biblical lands, because that was something that was very typical for the 19th century. So they used to come, travelers coming to the Middle East to take images of the biblical lands, and on the way they used to recruit people with them in order to help them in their endeavor. Those recruits later on continued the career in photography. We can say that the very first atelier of photography or studio of photography opened in Jerusalem by Karabedian in 1860. And afterwards, there was a continuation of this tradition, mostly by Europeans, but also with a lot of locals. And we have three images showing a kind of a studio portraiture, a photo showing the Woodcorm painting, an academic painting with his wife next to him. He was posing for this image, and we can see that it was very much like a pose in a studio. Next to it, there was this kind of photography that you would wanted basically to show artisans in or craftsmen in their while doing their business in a kind of an orientalist approach to market these kinds of craftsmanship. And on the lower, there is an image of those photographers, a photo of a photographer who used to go into villages, and there was no studio. These were very poor, remote villages. The photographer used to take his camera with him and take images in situ of different people in the villages. So it's a one way to look at how the images, the photos were taken. Some of them were taken in situ, and a lot of them were taken in studios without staging, and some of them were literally taken in studio, but with a very studied staging for the photograph. Number 10 is a series of costumes taken by a painter, Georges de Woodcorm, that are most basically projects of military costumes that were meant for a Lebanese army. At this stage, there still was not a Lebanese republic, but there was this idea during the colonial period of starting to think about a Lebanese nation. It was part of a thinking that wanted to create a modern state of Lebanon, and part of it was to have an army, and this army should have costumes like the European militaries, but with a Lebanese touch. I highly recommend to pay attention to the details of the cedar and how it was meant to be put. We are in 1923, the beginning of the colonial period. Number 11 is a typical brasswork that was available in this part of the world. It's a very decorative work with inlays of silver and gold on top of the brass. The special thing about this of this vase is it was offered by probably a local to the General Sarai, who was the High Commissioner of France, and the head of the army of the Levant. So you can see how the typical artisanat, Lebanese artisanat or Levantine artisanat, was used as such with an added scripture in French in order to offer it for a foreigner. In 1929, in regarding the images number 12, Mustafa Farrouk came back from his big trip to France and Italy and organized the very first exhibition at the American University of Beirut at West Hall in what used to be called the Green Room. This is a very rare image of one of the very first exhibitions of Western-influenced art with the artist who, apart from exhibiting here, used to teach the Western-style art at the American University of Beirut. And it is interesting to look at his work because he came back from the West and tried to introduce new notions that were not known in this country about nudity and the relationship of how the people would look at the academic art and nudity with a lot of surprise, making him probably one of the first performance artists in Lebanon. Number 13 is a typical poster that shows imagery of major film actors, very well known in this part of the world, namely Muhammad Abdel Wahab and Leila Mrad. And these were the posters that were stuck on the streets in order to bring in people. But it was the development of a new kind of imagery that dominated a little bit the cinema in the Middle East, probably between 1920 and 1960. Number 14 is an Orientalist painting by Marie de Chevarier, who's a French artist born, who lived between 1852 and 1899. It was painted in 1890, representing a portrait of a Lebanese notable. Interesting part is really to compare this painting with other representation of local tribesmen and Lebanese notables, but done by Lebanese and local artists, and compare in between. Number 15 is a black and white photograph, probably taken between 1920 and 1930. And they are related also to number 16. And it show a kind of studio portraiture. People used to go to a studio and stand behind a decorated scene showing driving airplanes or driving boats or flying whatever. And that was a little bit the beginning of an imagery that was very typical, and that also dominated a little bit the studio portraiture in this part of the world between 1920 and, I would say, 1950. Number 17 is a map of Saïda, École Française, from the first half of the 18th century, representing Saïda and the mountains behind it. It was chosen because also maps are a kind of landscape imagery that also was important at this very period of discovery and planning of the state and knowing the territory and the borders. Number 18 is a painting by Khalil Salibi, probably from an academic period where he was studying in the UK, a copy of a probably 16th, 17th century European portraiture. This is how the very first generation of artists learned the academic Western painting before coming back to Lebanon and opening their studios and teaching there the second generation of artists in Lebanon. Number 19 and number 20 are chiseled brasswork that shows all the motifs and the calligraphy that was very dominant in the art of the Levant, including the braseros and the vases and all the brass work that was done by highly skilled artisans, from different labeled you today like Islamic art, but it is interesting to mention that it was not only done by Muslims, but very well known also by Jewish artisans, Christian artisans, and in this part of the world. So labeled as Islamic, but in fact it was done by Levantine artisans within a school of art that approached art in a non-figurative or a very stylized, non-representational style. Number 21 is really a very unique example of provincial art. It is made by women in the different villages of the Levant, who probably because of these countries being not very rich, they used to recycle everything, and it is done by parts of excesses of textiles that are there are cutouts from a dress or something, and all these additions or these irrelevant parts that remain, they use them in order to do these kinds of decorative textiles that was used to do the decorate homes, and that are very interesting in their kind of showing an art that was really typically not influenced by Western art. Number 22 is a poster by W.T. Benda, an American artist who worked operational between 1873 and 1948. And it's a lithographic poster showing the interest of the American missionaries in the Levant and in the Near East. And that is part of of an enterprise that also led to the creation of the American University of Beirut, in which this exhibition is taking place. Number 23 is a watercolor by Eugène Romain Van Meldegem, operational between 1813 and 1867. And it's another watercolor showing a high-ranking lady from Lebanon. Also interesting example to compare it later on with similar representation of notable ladies, but done by Lebanese artists. Number 24 is a very Baroque mirror, very typical of what used to be available in Levantine houses, and the interest for their decorative aspect. Interesting in order for oneself to look in it, to see his portrait, and later on move to a series of portrait number 24, number 25, 26, 27, representing portraits by Khalil Salibi, one of the founding fathers of Lebanese academic art and impressionist art in Lebanon. And the three examples, starting with the most unfinished to the finished painting, in order to show the academic process. These are artists who went to study abroad, and so their art was built up in an extremely academic manner. The last one, number 27, is a portrait of Khalil Salibi by a British artist in 1897 to show how a little bit this contrast between local artist from Lebanon and a European artist, and how they learned the trade or the profession of painting. Number 28 is a series of photographs from Maison Tarazi, which used to be a very well-established house of artisans, very well known in their work of for wood and painted wooden panels. On top, you can see a decorative panel with some of the landscapes and fruits, very basic, but it shows that there was imagery within those painted panels that covered the walls of all the big houses in Beirut. The very interesting example is in Beit Eddin. It's an occasion for people to go again to the palace of Beit Eddin in order to look at the very beautiful painted wall panels that used to decorate all the walls with all their different kinds of imagery, but imagery coming from from another register of art than the European one. Included also are three kinds of wood blocks that were used by artisans in order on textile in order to make embroideries that you can see just in number 62. So these wood blocks were printed on the textile and then embroidered with silk or with gold or silver thread on top of these prints in order to help the artisan to do the proper design. Number 29 was chosen because it's a typical example of this apparently known artist, Murad Obeid, from 1920. But between a parenthesis known artist because we don't know anything about him. It is very typical painting of those small masters that used to paint villages and remote villages in the Mount Lebanon in the turn of the century, and that were completely forgotten at later stages, and probably that is the only work surviving of this artist. Number 30 is a chair for a part of a table where people used to play cards or backgammon on it, with its kind of very geometric wood decoration using mother of pearl and different kinds of woods in order to make all the coloration. So sometimes the artisans used to use 10 kinds of different woods in order to make all these colorful decorations by what is more known as wood mosaic. Number 31 is an embroidered textile, another example of imagery using flowers and calligraphy, and mentioning a very nice Quranic verse that says, "Inna Allaha jamilun yuhibbul jamal," which means that God is beautiful and He likes it, beauty, and that shows the interest of the Muslim confession with relation to art and aesthetics. Number 32 is one other example of calligraphy done by a famous turn of the century calligrapher called Badawi Dirani, mentioning a Quranic verse in a typical example of how the art of calligraphy used to ornate the interior of houses. Number 33 is another example of embroidered textile, but in this case it shows an imagery. Instead of calligraphy and flower, we can see a Bedouin scenery from from imagined from this part of the world. Below it, number 34, is a painting from 1928 by Boris Novikov. He is one of many examples of artists who, white Russians and other different nationalities who fled the revolutions in Russia and Eastern Europe and came to Lebanon to seek refuge. And their presence was extremely important at this point in time because they also helped in the bringing in a further kind of education of art to local artists. And we can see in this painting, which represent the Pigeons Grotto in Beirut, the influence of the Russian school with regard to light and detail. Number 35 and 36 are examples of the use of calligraphy and some kinds of stylized imagery in the fixe souverain or in tiles, but used as paintings to hang on the walls. Same as for 37 and 39, which are helias, so they are kind of Quranic verses that are put in a very illustrated ornamentation and with sometimes an image of Mecca or other religious places in order also to use as a decoration in Muslim houses. A similar example also with the Christians is a lot of religious art that was developing in the Levant starting the mid-19th century, where the church used to send painters to Rome and other places in order to learn Western religious art and come back and paint the churches. But we have to remember also, like in the number 40, that there was a very implanted school of Oriental icons, mainly in Aleppo and Jerusalem. This number 40 is an example of Boutros Al-Ajaymi from 1806. And it's a school that was very flourishing, especially amongst the Orthodox and the Greek Catholics of the Levant. Number 41 is a very interesting example of a Muslim artisan, mainly Abu Sabh al-Tinawi, very famous for his fixe souverain, but painting Virgin Mary and four popes, and that he used to produce in order to sell for a Christian clientele. Number 42 is a kind of a chandelier, but done with an extremely fine sizzling of copper sheets with a typical orientalist and calligraphic design. And that was very common in the decoration of Levantine houses. Number 43, 44, 45 is another example of the beginning of portraiture from 1845, a very rare example by Kanaan Deeb, a religious artist who also produced some artwork that were not meant to be icons or religious artwork, but the influence of the religious school is very clear. In number 43, Dawood Karam went out completely from religious art in order to produce a very typical portraiture of notables from this part of the world. Here, typically, what is called an iqta'i or a feudal from Lebanon, and number 44 is a portrait of a lady from this part of the world. Number 46 and 47 are typical of what is called the maritime school, and it is also part of the Ottoman topographical school. Officers whose work was mostly to paint topography and other stuff, but here, I mean, in 1947, this is a very rare example of a painting attributed to Ali Jamal, who is one of those Beiruti artists part of the school and who painted mostly ships and battlefields. The number 46 is by an unknown artist, but within the same school. Number 48 is a painting by Ali Qubaisi, one of the very first pioneer artists in the south of Lebanon, where art came much later than the rest of Lebanon. And it shows a little bit the orientalistic style, influenced a little bit by different other imageries and applied in order to begin a certain art scene. Number 49 is a painting by Yusuf Ahwayek, representing the palace of Beit Din in 1901. Yusuf Ahwayek is one of the very first pioneer of painting and sculpture in Lebanon at the turn of the century, and who was a close friend of Gibran Khalil Gibran, and also who played a political role during the Arab Revolution. Number 50 is a painting by Ibrahim Khalil Al-Jur, and it represents a leader of an ashire or a tribe in Lebanon. It's interesting in these cases to compare those local artists doing these kinds of portraits with other Orientalist painters who showed the same kind of portraiture but in a much more sophisticated way. In number 51 and 52 are two plates. One executed, done by French artists in France, and another one executed by a Levantine artist representing a Christian religious verses from the Bible. Number 53 are very typical example of the work of Abu Sabh al-Tinawi. He is the epitome of this pre-European art school that used to work in the Levant. It represents mostly famous heroes from the Arab mythology. So in here there is Antar and Habla. And it is funny to remark that he used to write his name and all the details so that if somebody buys it and he wants to go and buy again, so it said Isqaq al-Hattab, Beit Abu Sabh al-Tinawi, Bab al-Jabiye, Ihzar min al-Taqlid fi al-Suq. He even warns people not to buy the original one from him and not to buy copies of the work he did already in the beginning of the 20th century. 1954 is an early work by Omar al-Unsi while he was in Jordan. And it is also, we can see the influence of this Orientalistic school that dominated the a major part of the Levant and the end of the 19th century. Number 55 and 56 are examples of what I call the chocolate box school. And in fact, as related to the images we are going to see later on, the local painters who used to come in order to paint the houses were asked by the owners sometimes to do what they used to call a brouage. So, you know, you paint the wall and also paint on the on your way a kind of a painting with a frame as a decorative thing. So those artists who have absolutely no academic preparation, they used to go and take any imagery. Basically, at that point in time, the chocolate coming from Switzerland used to come in tin boxes with images of the Lac Léman and views of the Alps in the background. And so they used to reproduce this on different kinds of media, on velvet, on painting, and add to it sometimes some touches of a Levantine touch, or sometimes not at all. So in number 57 and 58, we have an image of those kind of artist painters that used to do the faux marble or the different kinds of decoration, and at the same time do the chocolate box painting. But on the other hand, number 59, 60, and 61, we can see the academic artist who used to take a photograph of the person they wanted to reproduce a portrait. But since photographs were a little bit a more commercial thing, when you were rich, you wanted to have a painting of yourself in order to show your wealth. And so these artists like Khalil Salibi and Habib Sroor and Dawood Korm and Philippe Mourani, the first generation, used to paint upon a photo, but we can see the difference in the academic preparation. Number 62 is a typical dress from the first part of the 20th century. The embroidery is very artisanal and was based on these wood print blocks that they used to print on the textile and embroidered at a later stage. And in the last series of images from 63 to 66, it is mostly a fixé sous verre, which was the typical art that was more dominant in this part of the world before the colonialism and the coming of the European-influenced art. It was painted under the glass, and it shows, we have fine example by an artist from Alba called Shaker al-Mazloum, representing Imam Ali or Saint George, or and we even have an example of an anonymous artist from the Levant showing also a Jewish inscription about God and a decorative painting that was hanged by the Jewish community of the Levant. Finally, we end in number 64 with a painting by Kanaan Deeb from 1859, representing a portrait of Ibrahim Najjar with the very first Arab journal, Hadiqat al-Akhbar. And it shows, it's one of the early examples of the modernization that started in the mid-19th century. And this whole exhibition will show this period between 1850 and 1940, where all the styles mixed, those coming from the West, those coming from this part of the world, and how they all merged in order to develop the art scene that we can see that started with the foundation of the Lebanese Republic in 1943, and how it turned on to become a kind of a modernity that is more typical of what we recognize today.